but let's see. All right, today is June 21st, and this is the 2 p.m. Eastern Time PSS group, and we are talking about humor and play, which is awesome because it's summer. And right now I have Tamar and Shelley with me. So let's do a quick, we kind of checked in already, but if there's anything that you want to celebrate or something fabulous that's happened over the past couple weeks, let's go ahead and do that now.
So one thing that I want to celebrate is my son just started with a new social worker, and we found that he really liked, you know, when he was in the hospital, he really liked pet therapy. So
oh, great.
So we got him into a pet therapy session at the local library, and they were kind of on hiatus for the summer, but his new social worker lives above her office, and she has a golden retriever, and he does really well. Aww. when this golden retriever comes into the office, like, it's working.
That's awesome.
Yesterday she bought one of these, I don't even know what it's called, but it's like a, it looks like a small soccer ball, and like every little octagon on the, every little pentagon on the soccer ball has a little statement on it, and you have to, kids get thrown the ball on whatever their sum is, they have to finish the statement. So, you know, people think I am, or I'm good at, or and he was doing it today, and I never heard him so expressive. It was really impressive.
Oh my gosh, that's great. I love it. Oh, do you guys have a pet?
We have a fish because I'm not having a dog.
We have fish also. Oh, that's great, though.
Fish and gerbils here.
You got gerbils?
Fish and gerbils.
Wow. Fish and gerbils.
Similar reason. Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah. Yeah, we've had dogs.
Unfortunately. Well, fortunately. But, yeah, not in a position to do that here either. But, oh, that's phenomenal. And, in fact, you know, there's – will you post that, actually, Tamar, in the forum? Because I think that's a critical piece that we don't talk about enough, is that kind of pet therapy, and there's a PAWS program at my one of my son's schools, and it's just phenomenal to see the difference. But, you know, having a therapy dog presence, you know, makes on our kids. I think that's awesome. Yeah, please post that. That'd be great.
I also thought that, you know, like, this would be a great what's it called? Great job for him in the future, like training golden retrievers to become for dogs.
Yeah. Oh, that's incredible. That's really
that's
awesome.
A great idea.
Mm-hmm. Now, I have to see, is it the PAWS program that you guys do at the local library?
No, it's
PAWS?
No, it's like Rainbow Therapy, I think.
Rainbow Therapy, that's cool. Awesome. Yay. Shelley, what are you celebrating?
Occasionally when I ask my kids to do something, at least one of them will get up and do it and not complain. They just
That's
do
awesome.
It. Yeah. It's only one or two things, but we're getting there.
So is it one or two things per kid, or is there something about the way you're saying it that's making the difference for all the kids? What do you think is driving that desire to get up and help you?
Oh, well, I wouldn't go with desire, but then, it's just one particular tap. The emptying the silverware tray in the dishwasher for whatever reason, and they take turns doing that, and so they used to complain, and sometimes they still do, but most of the time they just get up and do it and go back to what they're doing, and sometimes they'll grumble on the way back. You always interrupt me when I'm doing something, but, you know, they don't gripe at first. And I do it.
And that's huge, though. I mean, you know, we're kind of joking around about it, but oh my gosh, what? It's so fabulous when that happens, you know, and you realize,
yeah,
oh my gosh, I didn't have to fight over that. They just got up and did it.
They can do it. They can do it. We can work together and figure this out.
That is a fabulous celebration. I am right there with you. Awesome. Great. Okay, cool. What do you guys want to take aim on today? We're talking about playing and using humor. And, you know, I love all of our topics. Every week it seems like I say, I love this topic, but it's true. How can you not love playing, right, and having fun and cracking jokes and laughing? So when I think about what to take aim on, remember we're taking aim on, you know, the solution or the problem, I'm sorry, not the solution, or the change we want to see. And then we can talk more about, you know, what's involved in play, why it's important, and go from there. But real quickly, if you have something top of mind in terms of what you want to pick aim on or focus on, macro or micro, whatever comes up, just jump in and let us know.
I think I would want to take aim on my son just hopefully feeling better about himself when he was doing that thing with that ball when his thumb touched the phrases. He was so he was so sad to listen to. You know, he was like, people think I am. And right away he said small and, you know, can't play. And, I mean, I would love for him to feel better about himself. You know, he feels like he's so inadequate. And I know that they do mock him because he's tiny and he's certainly not mature like his age. And it's so hard to hear.
Okay. It's okay. I can hear you fine.
No,
can you hear me okay?
It's hard to hear him say this.
Oh, yeah. That is hard. Sorry, duh.
Yeah.
That is hard. It's heartbreaking. You're right. So what kind of things would you like to hear him say? And how will you know if he's getting better or if he's starting to feel more positively about himself?
Well, maybe if he played with that ball again with the therapist or, you know, his comments at home, like, he makes very dramatic comments, like, you just want me dead. You just want me on my deathbed, you know, like, just, like, if those kind of got less, that would be nice.
Yeah. Okay. Fair enough. Shelley, what about you?
Well, I had an incident the other day, and my son one of my sons cannot make decisions. If you take him shopping at the toy store, it's a 45-minute ordeal of, I have to see what else they have, and he was pitching a fit the other day, and he finally got to talking about it and said, I'm always afraid I'm going to make the wrong decision, I can't decide. Every time I make a decision, I'm sorry that I did. And he's just so stressed out and angry. And I don't know how to help him with that. So
does it usually happen when he has lots of choices? Or does it happen, you know, even if there's like two or three choices?
Well, even with two or three, because he's never happy with whatever he has to, you know, the opportunity cost. It's never...
Mm-hmm.
He just can't handle it.
Yeah, if that fear of missing out and fear of the grass is always greener thing. Okay.
Yeah.
Let me think about that for a second because I want to make sure we're creating an area so we know if we're successful, right? So it's almost not so much about speeding up the decision-making process. It's more about being happy with whatever decision he makes.
Yes. And with
what
he
accurate?
Has. Yeah.
Okay.
He just needs to be right. To see what's in front of him and be good at that.
Okay.
Or at least better.
Yeah. And is that with, you know, no matter what the decision is, I mean, in terms of, you know, if it's a choice of what TV show to watch or a choice of a toy or a choice of a chore or, you know, whether it's a, I don't know, a reward type choice or a consequence type choice, you know, or just a mundane run-of-the-mill choice, is it the same?
Mostly. I mean, he doesn't have a problem with picking out his clothes because he just doesn't care.
Whatever. Okay,
the
there you go.
So
he can make a decision if he doesn't care.
Right. And his food pretty much defaults to two or three things. He's got two or three things. He likes all the trying things. So it's everything. And it's not necessarily choices of playing a particular way. He has his heart set on a game, and if nobody else wants to play it, he's going to pitch it. So there's no decision-making problem there. He's good at that.
Yeah.
It's mostly how he uses his resources, his time, and not even time. It's more buying things. Anything he has
okay.
to spend money on.
Is it his money or your money or both?
Well, we're working on it being his. But it's hard
okay.
when they're doing a job for a quarter, it's hard to get enough to buy anything.
Right. Okay. Well, you know, if he's, doesn't matter. Sorry. Just some clarifying questions. Cool. All right. Good to know. So humor and play. It's pretty straightforward, but I think it's something that it's so easy to forget, right? I mean, our kids' jobs are to play, right, and learn, and hopefully to do them together. You know, if we found, you know, the right learning environment for them, they're able to have a great deal of fun while they're learning. And the best teachers, as I'm sure you guys have found in your experience too, are the ones who are able to incorporate play and games and fun into learning so that kids don't even realize that they're learning until they've already learned. And, you know,
when I was,
you guys are pretty, go ahead, sorry.
Just going to say, when I was taught, and I taught for 10 years, I always liked throwing a ball to the kids and asking them questions because they don't realize that they're learning and they, you know, are doing something fun because there's an activity of them having to catch it, but they're actually answering the ask questions or giving a spelling word or something. And I think that was very similar with what the psychologist was doing last night.
Yeah, yeah. And even more so, it's getting them to move, which, you know, especially for our kids, you know, they need movement to be able to focus on what they're doing. And so that was brilliant.
Right. I mean, my son was all over the place. He was lying on the couch, and he had his foot up in the air, and he's lying on the floor, and he just cannot sit still for 2 seconds. But
that's okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's, I mean, you're exactly, that's what all the new research, of course, is showing that, you know, if our kids are moving around, it's because they're trying to get extra blood flow to the brain so they can focus and be fully present. And so even though it looks like, you know, just restless movement, it actually is movement with a purpose. That's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so, I mean, and humor and play, I mean, you guys are fun people. Anytime we've been on a call together, you've always been both optimistic and, you know, trying to find a way to turn things around for the positive. And that's a critical piece in parenting positively. And not every parent is born with that. But the fun thing is that it can be taught. And it's always a good thing to remember to pause when things are getting serious. And see if you can find a way to make it more fun. You know, we do it at home as many times as possible. I mean, even just simple things. I'm sure you guys do these things too. I drink a lot of water, so I have a lot of water bottles in my car. And at the end of the day, we have water bottle basketball. And so the kids, we shoot the water bottles into the trash can. I mean, you know, it's kind of lame, but it makes it fun, and it goes pretty quickly, and it gets the job done. And that's just a basic example of, you know, using humor and play to either accomplish a task or teach a lesson. I've seen all kinds of wonderful examples of things in schools, you know, with apps, you know, where they turn learning into a game, you know, and just laughing. You know, sometimes when we're in the angriest moments, or we're really in danger of crossing over into that area where we may say or do something that we're going to really regret, if we get a chance to crack a joke or make fun of ourselves or some way to lighten the mood, it makes everything so much better and so much easier. You know, someone told me once that you can either get better or you can get bitter over things that have happened. And I love getting better, obviously. And I think humor and play is one way to do that. What are some ways that you guys have used humor and play in your lives, or what's coming up as I'm talking about it?
Almost like, you know, my daughter is very slow to get dressed, and she's really kind of slow with everything. And in the morning, she likes to get dressed with me. She brings her clothes into my room, but she makes it a race every day. And I don't care if I lose every day. That's fine.
That's yeah.
Moving, then she's getting dressed. And, okay, so I lose. Yay. She's dressed.
Yeah. Darn. Yeah, I love it.
Yeah, we like that.
Shelley, what about you?
I'm thinking, I know we've done it. We've tried it a few times, and it'll work for a little while.
Mm-hmm.
I just can't think of an example.
That's okay. You know, one of the things I think that we miss with respect to play is that sometimes what, you know, it's like when our kids are playing their video games, right? It doesn't really look like play to us because I think we have a preconceived notion or an idea in our mind of what, you know, appropriate play is. But that's playing, you know, playing Minecraft or just being on their computers or whatever, that's playing to them. And yeah, we have to have a limit on it, but at the same time, that's part of what they need to grow and learn and relax. And, you know, we're always so focused on getting things done that we forget that those little moments of playtime or even hours of playtime are just critical. Ned Halliwell, we've got a series of videos right now. I think you guys have seen a couple of them on the power of play and why play is important. And then Elaine did a talk recently with Kirsten Milliken, who is the founder of PlayDHD, which is Play ADHD. And she's written an entire book on ways to play and ways to find engagement in play and to remember how to play. And chances are you guys are doing a lot of these things already and just not even realizing it or naming it as play. So what stands in the way for you? What prevents us from being able to laugh at ourselves or laugh in the moment? There's no right answer, I'm just curious.
I think creativity or time. It takes longer to make a game out of it. It takes time to think of something.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah, I'm with you. Just coming up with it and not getting me rolling your eyes, are you kidding me, kind of a look.
Yeah.
From the kids.
Right.
At least once they realize that it's something other than, like, your basketball game, that might work once or twice, and then they're like, hey.
Pick up your own water bottle, lady.
Yeah.
Right.
I honestly got it. Yeah. I'll tell you all this. I got the other day, it wasn't humor or games, but my 7-year-old said to me, you're always telling me that it's people's responsibility to take care of their own stuff, so why am I having to fold your clothes?
No, and what did
no.
you say?
I said, because I am earning money to buy those clothes for you and all the toys. And he didn't take care of it.
That's great. Oh, I love it. What are some things that keep our kids from being able to find, you know, the humor in a situation or prevent them from free time, free play time, I guess?
I think low self-esteem can really play a factor. They don't feel good about themselves. They don't want to, you know, make things fun or think that they deserve for things to be fun, really.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a great point.
One of the things that he put his finger on that ball last night was, like, sports I'm good at or something I'm good at. And he said hockey, and I'm like, you don't play hockey. But you follow hockey.
But that's awesome. Like, I mean,
sports.
You sure he will be.
You know, so he has a hockey stick and he can, you know, push it down the sidewalk, but, like, it's just funny, like, he thinks he's good at it, but that's fine, let him think that.
Yeah.
He likes
yeah.
to follow the Chicago Blackhawks and makes him very
mm-hmm.
excited. So. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not hurting anything. I think that's great that he's playing. You know, he's got that as an idea of what he's good at. And you bring up an excellent point. I'm looking through some of the literature on play, and I think it was Hallowell said that, you know, the opposite of play isn't work; it's depression. And play brings joy, and then it's a vital for every living being to play in order to learn problem-solving skills and develop creativity and build relationships.
Mm-hmm.
So that self-esteem piece is important, absolutely.
Yeah, I think, like, if you don't feel good about yourself, it really plays into everything, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It just helps
yeah,
everything
sure.
for you.
Yeah.
Like, my heart went out to him yesterday when I was listening to him.
Oh, yeah.
It really...
Yeah. It's heartbreaking.
You know, he's not a tall kid. He's not... He's a little guy. He doesn't weigh
mm-hmm.
a lot. And, you know, poor kid's still sitting in a booster seat going into sixth grade, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it's tough to be him. It is.
Yeah. But those are the kids, you know, who grow up to be the basketball players or the hockey players or the lacrosse players, you know, that everyone kind of discounts until they see how fast and how good they are, you know, or whatever it ends up being for him. And he will find his niche because you're committed to helping him try as many things as you can until he finds the one that's his.
I'm telling you, it's going to be
no
with pets.
It's going to be what? With pets?
With pets.
Yeah. Yeah. Going to be huge, and it's going to be a benefit to him because he is a smaller of stature because he'll be able to, you know, be down their level, which I know sounds insulting somewhat, but it's not at all what I was intending with that. But you know, he won't be threatening.
Right. Right. So
yeah. So what can you do in the next several weeks to find an area for him to be successful with pets or to develop that skill set?
Well, I mean, one second.
Yeah,
earpiece fell out. My in-laws have a dog. They live about the block from us. So and he loves playing with that dog, but that dog is old. The dog can't hear, can't see. That dog is going to die soon, and he's going to absolutely be crushed.
Oh.
And, you know, we're trying to prepare him for that eventuality. But I can't imagine. I just, he's going to be beside himself.
Yeah.
And so, I don't know. Well, I mean, the pet therapy that he was in, you know, it was on hiatus for the summer, so they're not going to start again
mm-hmm.
until October, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we can take him to a pet store or something, but, you know, he's not, like, really playing with the pets, you know.
Right.
I don't know. I'm not really sure. I mean, if we had, like, unlimited time, it would be nice to take him even to a shelter to volunteer.
Yeah.
But it's so hard to just even get to the appointments that he has for himself, you know.
Right.
I know that would really boost his self-esteem, but I don't know. Just it's hard
yeah.
to do it. You know,
yeah.
he's got judo, and he's got social work, and he's going to have two social skills groups this summer.
Yeah, it's a lot. You guys are busy.
Plus, you know, my husband and I are full-time employees. So.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, that. Yeah. No, I get it. And sometimes I think we underestimate how much our kids can get out of just a little bit of time, too. You know, maybe he only needs an hour a month or, you know, 15 minutes a week or something like that at whatever, walking a dog or, you know, caring for
mm-hmm.
a neighbor's pet or something like that to help grow those skills and solidify that he's really good at this. That he really connects.
It's funny, like my mother-in-law calls my son the pack leader, and he gets a rush out of that. You know, I'm the pack leader. I'm going to get him back in the house. And I'm the, you know, I can
That's
do
awesome.
This. And he just feels so good about it. And, you know, yes, I'm dreading when that dog dies, but hopefully we'll cross that bridge when it happens.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, animals are pretty resilient. I mean, I'm not saying it's not going to happen anytime soon, but, you know, you never know. And kids are resilient, too. And, you know, he may surprise you.
I mean, the dog.
Shelley, what are you thinking? Oh, sorry.
No, go ahead.
Well, I was just thinking, and I'm going to have to drop off early, but I was thinking that my kids, well, first of all, let me just say, see if there's some people in the neighborhood he can pet sit for, because people always need that, and wouldn't be a huge time commitment on your part. One of the things
I like
with
that,
my
yeah,
kids.
I have to go right with him, I guess, to get the pet or whatever. I don't want the pet in my house. Necessarily.
Oh, yeah. My niece and nephew do that all the time. In fact, they've got three of them going on right now. My kids, I think it's that they take everything too seriously. They don't know how to relax and play because to them it's their whole world. So it is a
their
major
whole world
deal.
Is serious?
No, their whole world is, I mean, if they're whatever they're doing at the time is their whole world. So if they're playing Pokemon and they get defeated, it's the end of life as we know it, you know.
Right.
Because that's
right.
Their world right then.
They get emotionally invested in it. It's hard to separate.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's a sense of perspective, I guess. But.
So what do you typically do when that happens?
Well, I haven't done anything that's terribly effective. What I typically do is, you know, calm down, calm yourself down. You can do this. Is there some compromise we can work out where, you know, you play 20 minutes of your game and you play 20 minutes of your game and you can't win every time. They don't even win every time on the Pokemon show, you know. Try and reason with them, which reasoning with seven-year-olds. What?
Doesn't work.
No. But I don't know what else to try.
What if they're learning a life lesson there? You know, what if, even though it's disappointing and difficult to watch them get upset, you know, and knowing that it's, you know, kind of just a game. What if that's a critical lesson that they're learning?
Well, and it may be, and they're just slow at learning it because we do say, you know, there's, you're not going to win at everything. You can't always win. You don't, not even, like I said, not even our heroes win all the time. And if you're not losing, you're not trying and that sort of thing. But it hasn't sunk in at this point.
Yeah. Which is great. They're eternal optimists.
Yeah.
Even though they know at some point they're going to lose, they keep coming back to play again because, they, you know, you might win this time. And on the one hand, you got to appreciate that. I love it.
That's true. I never thought of that.
The moderator has left the conference.
Oh my gosh, that was weird. I'm so sorry. Are you still there?
Yeah, I'm there.
Hey, Tamar. It's Shelley. Shelley left us. Okay.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I just suddenly the phone hung up. I'm sorry about that. What did I miss? Anything?
It was just like hold music.
Weird. I'm so sorry. Let me see if the recording's still going. Very strange. Yeah, still going. All right, cool. So where were we? We're just kind of winding down, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's something to look into, like the closest animal shelter, because I don't really want animals in my house, but he would love it. He would still look forward to it.
Yeah. But I think that that's that's a logical first step. I mean, you know, having an animal in the house is a huge responsibility for any kid. I think
even if he was babysitting for, you know, pet sitting for it, I don't want it.
Right.
In the house.
Yeah, I think you want to start small for sure, and set them up for success too, right? I mean, you know, watching a pet 24/7 to start off with might set them up for getting frustrated, you know. And he already loves this area so much that he needs to find little opportunities to make it fun and be successful. I think that'd be great. And you know, it's okay to not want to have a pet. requires a lot of work in your house. That's totally fine. I hear like a little guilt, I think, in your voice, and I want to make sure that you're, you know, giving yourself permission.
I mean, it's not like that. We don't have any room. Like, we're in a 2-bedroom condo, and
yeah,
and there's nowhere to move.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't particularly like animals underfoot.
Yeah, no, I mean, and there's, yeah, that's totally okay. It's your house. You know,
my in-laws come for dinner. When my in-laws come for dinner and they bring the dog, I get so annoyed. Oh, why'd you bring the dog?
He's underfoot. He's in the way. He knocks things over.
Yep. Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Yep.
Always.
Yeah. Well, it's an area to make something fun out of, right? Or play
yeah.
with. Yeah. All right. So what can I do to help set you up for success, you know, finding opportunities for your son to reconnect or connect more with animals, but in on a schedule or time frame that works for you guys?
Well, I can do a Google search for, you know, a close by shelter
mm-hmm.
and see if they've had kids volunteering and you know, explore that. I just feel like that we have no time. You know,
mm-hmm.
I haven't been driving for over a year because of my epilepsy.
Your seizures, yeah.
So it's been really difficult, you know, with my husband doing the driving of two people.
Yeah.
God willing. It is ending this weekend, but, you know, it's been very difficult for everyone in the family.
You're going to be able to start driving this weekend?
Yeah, hopefully.
Oh, my gosh, that's awesome.
Yeah, it'll be Saturday night when I can drive, you know, after the Sabbath. It will be 383 days since I last drove.
Wow. So what makes this weekend the magic weekend? Just curious.
It'll be 6 months to the day since my last seizure.
Okay, and that's a good...
In the state of Illinois, that's the law.
Okay. How are you feeling?
Okay. But every time I get close to that kind of date coming up, I have another one. So I keep starting it. I know,
well, don't think about it.
I know. I keep starting
no,
it.
No, I believe you. Oh, man. That's got to be so frustrating. I can't even imagine.
I was 22 days away, and then I had another one. So 22 days away from driving, and I had another one. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, now, just like I keep saying, God willing, gotta get there.
Yeah. Oh, man. Well, what happens if you have another one? I mean, what do you have a plan B?
Then I can't drive for another 6 months.
Yeah.
And, you know, obviously they look at medications and stuff, but we're constantly tinkering mm-hmm. with that. So.
What's the impact been on the kids?
Well, my son is extremely concerned with my well-being and health. And I was just telling the social worker this yesterday, like, if I as much as cough, Mom, are you okay? Because he's so worried about something happening. I know he, I mean, I'm so glad he did not see a seizure. My daughter actually did. But he would have been, devastated. You know?
Yeah, he's got such a big heart.
He does. He really does. Like yesterday, I was, you know, walking up the stairs to our apartment, and I was holding a gallon of milk and my keys and my purse, and I tripped and fell. And Mom, are you okay? Yes, dear.
Are you okay?
I'm totally fine. It's just so worried, you know?
Yeah.
So it's the worry.
Yeah. That's sweet. Of course. He loves you. He doesn't want anything to happen to you.
Yeah. And I feel bad. Like, all these things. I'm very concerned. You know, I'm not driving, but my husband was driving my car because I have a van. He was doing carpool. And he got into a bad accident with my car. And I was devastated when I took a look at the front of the car. The whole thing was crushed. And,
jeez. Was everybody okay?
Doing carpool. Yeah, everybody's fine, thank God. We're doing carpool. We have two other families' kids in our car, and I'm crying because of the way my car looks. And my son is like, "Don't worry, Mommy. It's okay. Don't worry. It'll be okay."
Sometimes our kids are our best teachers, right? Reminders of what's important. Oh, man.
Oh, man. He can't handle Mommy being upset. It's so sad.
What a sweetheart. That's awesome. He sounds like a really incredible kid.
Yeah. He is. He's, he does have a very sweet heart. I have to just learn to appreciate it, you know? Because.
Oh, but you do.
Yeah, but it's hard to see him so behind his peers. And, you know, that's just, he's really. I mean, my daughter is 8, and my son is 11, and my daughter's more mature. And, it's upsetting to see, you know.
Well, what if he stops comparing him to his peers?
I mean, I could. It's just like a natural thing to compare him to his sister because they're always near each other. It's not, I know it's not advisable to do, but.
Because
anyway.
They're totally different. Yeah.
They're totally different.
Right.
Totally different. He's like a little adult and he's like not.
Yeah. And that's okay, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, I get it. I mean, it's hard to not compare. It's hard to not compare.
It is.
it is. But how is it helping the situation?
It doesn't.
Yeah.
It doesn't. And, you know, I guess it just makes me more frustrated because it just makes me want something that doesn't exist. You know, I want him to be a certain way, but he's not gonna.
Right. Right.
Hold on.
What if he picks up on that?
I'm sure he does.
Okay.
I'm sure he does.
And
I know
that's thinking about his self-esteem. Yeah. I know you're concerned about his self-esteem, and I know you wouldn't ever want to add to that pressure.
Yeah. Because, I mean, I'm sure he's even heard me say it to someone else, but I shouldn't be saying it at all. You know, she's going to babysit for him. You know, because I can really see that.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I like, you know, what you're bringing out here is that, you know, he's just really such a caring child and mm-hmm. passionate. I wonder if, I was just thinking about the pet thing, if
yeah.
the pet stores also would want to take, like, child volunteers.
Oh, I bet. You never know. Be worth a shot. Is there one within walking distance?
There was. I don't know if it's still there. There was. I
don't think it's still there. Excuse me, but I have to look online.
Okay.
All right.
Sorry, I'm like doing the very boring task of filing papers at work.
No, I get it. Don't worry about a thing. Well, why don't we do this? Do you want to just tell me what, you know, what's your... I feel like you've already kind of shared what you're willing to commit to, you know, in terms of, you know, doing some Google searches and checking with pet stores to see what might be a good fit for your son.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm going to start.
Is there anything? Yeah. And I just want to make sure that you're doing okay and that you're taking care of you, because I'm hearing some guilt and I'm hearing some frustration, and which is all totally normal when we are parents of the kids that we are parents of. But,
you know, there's good and bad days. I mean, I'm not going to say this is a great one, but whatever.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't have to be all, you know, rainbows and roses. But at the same time, you know, there's that balance. And where we come back to that humor and play, right? I mean, it's critical to find our happy place or to laugh.
Yeah.
You know, I mean,
yeah.
So many, you know, hormones and, you know, just structural changes in our brains are all linked to laughing, good time, and fun. It's almost like our job to make sure we get an hour of exercise and an hour of fun every day.
Oh my gosh, if I would get that would be amazing. I don't even get 5 minutes.
Wouldn't it?
But, I know. I don't even get 5 minutes of exercise and fun.
Well, maybe that's your baby step then. Maybe that's your goal for you. Get to 7 minutes.
Yeah. Oh my god.
You're like, no.
No, I don't.
All right.
Well, I need it. Today, I mean, I just wanted to get away from my desk at work, so I ate lunch outside. It's gorgeous.
Yeah.
No, and I'll walk. Well, today I don't have to walk to get it. Today I'm getting a ride home, but you know, if I have to walk to the bus or from the bus, get that.
Yeah.
But
if you find a pet store you guys can walk to, there you go. It's two birds.
Right, and, you know, God willing, I'll be driving on Saturday, so.
Yeah. Well, fingers crossed.
Yeah.
Well, is there anything that I can do to help you be successful over the next couple weeks?
Just, I mean, I don't mean to, like, have you say this on one foot, but what tips can you give me kind of, like, quickly for boosting his self-esteem? Obviously, you know, avoiding the comments that are negative and the comparisons mm-hmm. that are negative, but, mm-hmm. you know, what else would you advise?
And I think you're doing it. Honestly, I mean, you're finding opportunities and areas where he is successful and you're making a big deal out of it, you know, and it sounds like your in-laws are doing the same. Or was it your in-law, your mother-in-law that said
yeah.
he's a pack leader? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just those little things, kind of giving him an identity that's wrapped around something that he enjoys and he's good at, that helps build his self-esteem. You know, those little successes, make a big deal out of them. And you've got them signed up for social skills classes. I mean, you've got them doing all kinds of things to be more self-aware and to be able to interact with other people. But in the meantime, you know, he is daily working on building up his own self-awareness and self-esteem and everything that you can do to remind him that he's a good person. And then also be good to yourself, you know, and kind to you, and model what it's like to build yourself back up. Maybe if you made a mistake mm-hmm. or you're feeling down about something, you know, just kind of talk out loud about what you're thinking and how it's okay, you know, and you know that you made a mistake, but, you know, you're still a good person or whatever, however you want to verbalize it.
Right.
Those are all good ways to do it. But, yeah, finding something that he enjoys, that he's good at, and then reinforcing that is one of the primary things, I think.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Cool.
Okay.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Jeremy.
You're welcome. Thank you. Have a wonderful couple of weeks.
All right. You too. Bye-bye.
Good luck on Saturday. Bye.
Thanks. Bye.
The moderator has left the conference.